Congress will get a look at Russian Facebook ads, thousands of them. From Marketplace in New York, I'm Sabri Benishore in for David Brancaccio. Facebook is turning over more than 3,000 Russia-linked ads to Congress, which is investigating covert Russian influence in the 2016 presidential campaign. Facebook CEO Mark Zuckerberg has also promised to overhaul how political advertising is done on the social network to try and limit the potential for abuse. Marketplace tech host Molly Wood has been following this.
Mark Zuckerberg largely blamed automated systems for approving ads that were bought by fake accounts, which may be linked to Russian or other state actors. Now, we asked Facebook earlier this week whether computers approve most ads or whether people are involved, and the company said it was a mix of both. Zuckerberg also said it would try to make its political ads more transparent. He said the company would make it easier to see what Facebook pages bought ads and that it would hire people specifically to try to handle election issues.
Still unanswered, how far and wide were these ads seen, who saw them, and whether any U.S. companies or individuals helped target these ads to specific congressional districts.
And, of course, there's the larger question of what is the role of Facebook or Twitter in terms of protecting against false or manipulative messaging. Facebook is definitely trying to stave off any potential regulation by regulating itself first. But there were reports even last night that the company was still selling these so-called dark ads that only appeared to certain people who visited the profile pages of Donald Trump and Mike Pence.
Marketplace tech host Molly Wood there. There's been plenty this week for markets to mull over. Tension between the U.S. and North Korea is just one item. Another is a shift at the Federal Reserve. The board there appears to be lowering its target for interest rates in the economy over the next couple of years. And remember, interest rates are like brakes on the economy. So lower interest rates mean easing up on the brake pedal, maybe even giving the economy some gas. Chris Lowe, chief economist at FTN Financial.
As long as about a year and a half, they've been telling us that this gradual increase in the Fed funds rate is eventually going to end with the Fed funds rate at 3%. But at this week's meeting, that estimate fell to 2.75. The logic goes like this. They set the Fed funds rate in order to regulate the economy's growth. And if they set the rate lower, we'll have faster growth. We'll see faster wage increases. Ultimately, we should see faster inflation. Eventually, it gives them a little more wiggle room. When the next recession comes, at that point, interest rates will be higher, and it gives them some room to cut so they don't have to go back to the extreme measures like quantitative easing they used after the financial crisis.
So basically, let the economy run a little hot so that when they need to pour cold water on it, it'll do something.
Yeah, exactly. And they'll actually have some tools that are more effective than they were in this last crisis.
Also at the Fed, something the markets are paying attention to is the fact that the halls of the Fed are going to be a little more empty in a few months. There's several vacancies. How important is that?
You know, there are real reasons to be concerned. One of them is that the Fed does a tremendous amount of work, including regulatory work. And then there's some weird other reasons, too. One of them is the Sunshine Rules, which require that when a quorum government group like this meets, if they're going to discuss official business, well, they've got to announce it to the public and invite the press. If any two of those remaining members are in an elevator together or sitting down in the cafeteria for lunch, they can talk about their grandchildren, but they can't talk about Fed business because that would be a violation of the Sunshine Rule.
Christopher Lowe, chief economist at FTN Financial in New York. Thank you.
Thank you, Sabri.
More Americans are falling behind on their credit card payments. We're not talking a deluge of default or anything, but credit lenders have seen delinquencies move up modestly this year. It's partly because they're lending more. Marketplace's Rima Crace reports.
Right after the financial crisis, lenders were wary of giving out loans and cards to people with not so great credit. But now that the jobs picture is brighter,
that market is opening back up.
Patricia Hines is an analyst with the research firm Celent.
Borrowers with less than perfect credit certainly have a history of missing payments, so they are riskier for the credit card issuer.
A 2.5% delinquency rate is still much lower than what we saw during the Great Recession, when it was about 6.5%. But it's creeping up as household debt reaches record levels and wages stay flat, says Matt Schultz of creditcards.com.
If people keep spending on their credit card and those raises don't happen, that can cause some real issues.
He expects delinquency rates to keep inching up and says that for those with debt,
it's important to knock that credit card debt down when times are good.
Because it'll be crushing, Schultz says, if or when the economy takes a downturn. I'm Rima Kreis for Marketplace.
And in New York, I'm Sabri Benishore with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.